You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you are here. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get involved. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie's on vacation. She will return. I'm not going to tell you when. That's really none of your concern. She'll be back next week.
That feels ominous, Brian.
All right. What's that, Parker?
That feels ominous, Brian.
It does feel ominous. Yeah. She is coming back. She is just on vacation. But let's be honest, Parker, because I know she's listening. Good morning, Jamie. How are you? We hope you're enjoying your time off. She doesn't take time
off. Please stop working.
She's going to be listening. She's going to be critiquing. There'll be notes. She'll come back Monday with a whole tome of things about the show from this week and all the show stuff that she wanted to do this week that she didn't get a chance to because she's on vacation. Which will be nice, because she'll come back with like five shows worth of stuff for next week.
That's true. And then you won't have to do anything all next week.
I won't have to do anything. Except it'll all be like a week old news. So, not with her. She'll
better late than never.
Exactly. Some things age well. Not the war, though. We're in seventh week of the war, and we do have headlines coming out of the Middle East. Yesterday, the U.S. military fired on and seized an Iranian-flagged cargo ship, the MV Tuska. It was trying to run a U.S. blockade of Iranian ports. The U.S. Central Command said that naval experts both said that Tuska will be taken into an anchorage or port for inspection. Once that is done and its cargo is determined, they said it could eventually become property of the U.S. government as a, quote, prize. Like the spoils of war, that old saying, it's true. So now we have seized this. They haven't said what's in there. They have confirmed that the cargo ship is carrying cargo, but they won't know what exactly is in it until they get it into the port for inspection. Well, Iran, as you can imagine, is not happy about this. They have vowed to retaliate after the U.S. Navy fired on and seized that cargo ship. Once the safety of the families and crew of the vessel is ensured, that according to Iranian state media, which is why Iran has said that is why they did not push back harder when the ship was fired upon and boarded, because there was crew members' families in there. They're not exactly where the crew is from, whether they will be repatriated or detained. If they are Iranian crew members, there is a chance that they will be detained by the U.S., but a lot of it is still up in the air. And another headline, the seizure has cast doubt on a second round of negotiations planned for this week in Pakistan, because as you remember, the ceasefire only goes until Wednesday, the 22nd. So ceasefire ends. We don't know yet. The talks were planned. The vice president and top U.S. officials are expected to travel to Islamabad today, but Iran's foreign ministry insists there are no plans for the talks, and it's hard to have peace talks with only one side. So we'll see what happens on that today. And finally, the talks face key sticking points, including control of Iran's uranium stockpiles and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, where we all know 20% of the world's oil comes through, a lot of it going to China and other places, and global energy supply has been choked for weeks. This morning, the latest I saw in the updates were there were two ships in the strait, just two. So, and you know that Iran is now charging tolls for their ships, so they are being enriched, and it bears repeating, and I will repeat it because, as I said, it bears repeating, that the Strait of Hormuz was wide open 7 weeks ago, wide open, as part of the deal that was negotiated years ago by President Obama. But now it's closed. It has forced the U.S. military to engage in a blockade. It is causing oil prices to go up. Now, yesterday, oil prices dipped, but they went up again this morning, not back to over $100 a barrel, but they did go up 5.5%, I think, this morning was the number I saw. So back up to $87, $88 a barrel for crude. And, you know, it went down yesterday because we said, Well, we said we won again. All right, that's enough from the Middle East. But I am sure there is more stuff we need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Oh, all right. Well, there is stuff we need to know. And this goes back to something we were just talking about. The president has said the U.S. Forcibly seized an Iranian flag cargo ship and tried to get around a naval blockade near the Strait of Hormuz yesterday. The first such interception since the blockade of Iranian ports began last week. On social media, the president said the ship was warned by a U.S. Navy guided missile destroyer in the Gulf of Oman to stop, but it did not. He said the Navy, quote, stopped them right in their tracks by blowing a hole in their engine room, and that U.S. Marines had custody of the vessel named Tuska and were seeing what's on board. It is good to know that the president takes such joy out of blowing things up and putting our service members in jeopardy. There's no immediate Iranian comment. The news threw into question the early announcement that U.S. negotiators would head to Pakistan on Monday. Well, we know the U.S. negotiators are still going to Pakistan. We don't know if any Iranian negotiators are going to Pakistan. And we'll see. Washington and Tehran remain in a standoff over the strait. We'll see if any talks happen before Wednesday. We will see if the ceasefire gets extended. So many things to see with this negotiation in this war of choice. All right. Now, we mentioned this on Friday, that this was going to happen, and we mentioned the Dane County Sheriff talking to Calvin Barrett is his name, talking to potential protesters. So about 1,000 animal welfare activists who tried to gain entry Saturday to a beagle breeding and research facility in Wisconsin were turned back by police who fired rubber bullets and pepper spray into the crowd and arrested the group's leader. It was the second attempt in as many months by protesters to take beagles from Rigland Farms. That facility is in Blue Mound, about 25 miles southwest of Madison. You know that. Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett said in a video statement that 300 to 400 protesters were violently trying to break into the property and assault officers. He said protesters have ignored designated areas for peaceful protest and blocked roads to prevent emergency vehicles from entering. Quote, this is not a peaceful protest, Barrett said. And if you remember when we talked about this on Friday, the sheriff had said, listen, you can protest, but you can't break the law. And when you storm into a place and trespass, and when you try to destroy facilities or equipment, that is against the law. And no matter what you're feeling on the issue, the law is the law. The state, now, you know, you can take this for what it's worth. State inspectors have been in there as they are required to be. The sheriff had said they will make sure everything was above board. If they've set up places to protest, protesters are encouraged. I would say if you feel that strongly, go and protest. But you can't break the law. And I'm not saying that you can't yell and scream. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't do what you have to do, but you can't destroy things and hope that nothing happens to you. You have to remember that you are going to be held accountable for this. A significant number of people were arrested. The reports this morning say about 25 people were arrested out of about 1,000 protesters at the site. The exact total was not known at the time, but it is known now, as I mentioned, 25. Protesters tried to overcome barricades that included a manure-filled trench. How dedicated do you have to be? And this is, listen, tip of the hat. I'm not, if you're going to crawl over a manure-filled trench, it sounds like something out of Shawshank Redemption. Hay bales and a barbed wire fence. Some protesters did get through the fence but were unable to enter the facility where an estimated 2,000 beagles are kept, according to the Wisconsin State Journal. So again, protesting, good. Destroying property, you're crossing a line, and there's no surprise then that you're going to be arrested. The Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, has acknowledged yesterday that it might not be until 2027 before gas prices come back under $3 a gallon. It's amazing how fast we get used to things. I paid $4.26 the other day, and I thought I was getting a deal. So Chris Wright was asked by Jake Tapper on CNN's State of the Union when he thought, quote, it's realistic for Americans to expect the gas will go under $3 a gallon, to which Wright replied, I don't know. That could happen later this year. That might not happen until next year. He then maintained, without elaborating or giving any facts, that it's realistic for Americans to expect the gas will go back under $3 a gallon. I don't know. That could happen. He said prices are likely peaked and they'll start going down. Again, he had no proof. He didn't elaborate how he knew this. He said a conclusion to the war with Iran would see energy prices go down. Then Tapper pressed him and he said, well, what do you mean 2027? Because the Trump administration said they were going to go by December. They're going to get back down. Under $3 a gallon is pretty tremendous in an inflation-adjusted terms, Wright answered. He had that in the Trump administration, but we haven't seen it in inflation-adjusted times for quite a long time. We'll get back there, though, for sure. Just for reference, gas prices were at $2.98 a gallon in the days before the start of the war and $3.98 a gallon on average in late March, and it just keeps getting worse. And the final piece of stuff you need to know for this morning, for this hour anyway. Former Wisconsin man sentenced to 20 months in a federal prison for illegal campaign contributions. A federal judge has sentenced a former Wisconsin man to 20 months in prison for funneling hundreds of thousands of dollars into domestic political campaigns after moving to another country and renouncing his U.S. citizenship. But he still sending money. Court records show U.S. District Judge James Peterson sentenced Roger Hoffman last week. He also ordered Hoffman to pay a $150,000 fine. Hoffman's attorney did not respond to AP's request seeking comment, but we do know that Hoffman is a 70-year-old self-employed investor originally from Madison. He became a citizen of the Caribbean nation of St. Kitts and Nevis in January 2009. And that's according to a grand jury indictment handed down in 2021. He renounced his U.S. citizenship in July of that year. Well, he still was moving money. He moved more than $400,000 to state and federal elections in the U.S. over more than a decade, using an assistant identified in court documents only as M.W. He pleaded guilty in September to a single count of making illegal donations in a deal with prosecutors, agreeing that they would be able to prove he made about $345,000 in illegal federal campaign contributions between 2010 and 2020. And I know you're waiting, Brian. Who was he donating to? Was it Republicans? Was it Democrats? Was it everybody? Unfortunately, it is unclear which candidates or political parties received money from him. So depending on where you sit, you're probably in your mind blaming the other side, but we don't know that for sure, so we have to just go with it. All right, those are things and part of the S you need to know on a Monday morning. When we come back, it is time for Swipe or Stay. I saw so many headlines as I was prepping the show. I did not delve into any stories, so I really have no knowledge of what Frank has cooked up for us during Swipe or Stay, but it's always a fun segment, so be sure you stick around. Parker, I guess you're going to have an equal vote today. That's what I'm guessing. It's going to be up to maybe. Frank, but if it were up to me, it'd be, you know, we got to have two votes. I thought I am going to have ultimate authority.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a dictatorship.
I like that. I like the sound of that. So we'll find out all about that when we come back. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Take it away, Frank. Yes, this is Swipe or Stay. This is Daybreak. And this is where Frank comes in with some obscure pop culture headlines, and we decide what's happening. I just gave the rules, Frank, but I'd like you to do it. It is your game. How are you?
I was going to say, I'll do the rules, too.
Yeah,
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful Monday morning. It looks nice out, but don't worry. I checked the forecast, and clear skies and sunny all week.
Yay.
Until the weekend. When we're free to do whatever we want, and then there's rain in the forecast.
And it's scary that it's only 7:23, and we're looking forward to the weekend.
I actually don't do, with this job, I don't do that too much. No. I feel like I'm constantly looking at the news, even on the weekends, but yes. I don't feel like it's too daunting of a task. But anyway, we're going to put that on the back burner. We're going to play Swipe or Say, even though Jamie's not here. So I'll go over the rules. They're modified a little bit. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Ryan and Parker are going to have to decide whether to stay or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, I get to be the tiebreaker this time.
Okay. Hmm. Don't get all crazy.
I'm just letting everybody know I'm laying down the law.
I think I should just have ultimate power.
No checks and balances. I told the live stream listeners, rule number one of executive producing, never let the talent have too much power. As we move on to story number one, Oscar and Grammy winner lives out childhood dream at Coachella.
They've won an Oscar and a Grammy. How many childhood dreams could they have left? I'm going to stay.
I'm swiping. I assume I know what this is about. I saw the video. I don't need to know more.
It's short. So we're going to stay. I'm going to choose to stay.
See, I nice. Told you, I like he's going to pick all of his own stories.
Now the producer has all the power, which they normally do.
That's right,
do
because
anyway.
I chose this story as number one. Right. It's what happened over the weekend.
What's up?
Yeah. Billie Eilish
had
a dream come true this past weekend at Coachella. And she didn't even perform, guys. Is this who you were thinking of, Parker?
No, I saw a video of Madonna.
That's what I thought.
Madonna,
No, it is not that.
Oh.
Although Madonna sounded great. If you haven't listened to it, it might be the best she sounded in years. But anyway, Billie Eilish was pulled on stage during Justin Bieber's set, and he sang the song One Less Lonely Girl to her. So let me give you the backstory to this. God.
Please do.
I was told by my wife and former person who had Bieber fever back in the heyday that for all his concerts, he would always pull a girl on stage and serenade this song to her.
Wow.
And Billie Eilish, when she was younger, had Bieber fever bad and was a huge fan. So Justin Bieber's wife, Hailey Baldwin, kind of pushed her onto the stage and they kind of set this up. And she was so bashful that this was happening. And I was thinking about it. Even though you're a megastar, like your childhood person still would make you blush, right?
Yeah, probably.
No matter what. Yeah, yeah. Like I've met plenty of celebrities and athletes, but there are certain people where I would. Yeah. Thank you. But there are certain people where I just wouldn't act right around.
No, I get
that. Brian, do you have one?
I'm trying to think. I too have met some people. Have I ever gotten goofy around anybody? I probably don't say enough to let myself get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying. I know I have. I know I've been. You know, I've met somebody and there's been butterflies and that kind of stuff. But I can't recall at this moment because I'm a jaded old man, Frank.
Parker, one day it'll happen to you too.
One day. I'll keep going.
Grammy nominee gets into fight at fast food restaurant.
Pass.
Oh, swipe. God. Swipe. It's a fight. Stay.
We're staying. Hey-o. Look at that. 2 for 2 from producer Frank with the tiebreakers. Female rapper Ice Spice got into a fight at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I am
Please,
not talking
about McDonald's.
It is the McDonald's, and I'm not talking about a verbal altercation, Brian. I'm talking fisticuffs.
Really?
Security cameras show a woman going up to Ice Spice's table with her and her friend, leading to a heated altercation. Apparently, the fan wanted to sit with them.
Oh, okay.
To which Ice Spice told her to, you know, hit the road.
Buzz off.
The fan threw a punch at Ice Spice, and all hell broke loose. There is a screenshot. I didn't get to watch the full video. There's no audio. But there's a screenshot of Ice Spice standing on the table at McDonald's with a right hook coming over the top. Yeah. And it's great.
It's an awesome video.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you're a Grammy winner, are you eating McDonald's? A Grammy nominee. Not why are you eating McDonald's. Why are you eating at a McDonald's.
So that was my takeaway from this too, and I'm glad you brought this up, Brian. But if I reach that level of fame, you have to remember Ice Spice is part of like the Taylor Swift crew.
Is she? I don't know.
Yes,
Ice Spice.
She Ice Spice has sat in multiple suites to watch Travis Kelce play. Like she's a part of all that right. traveling crew. Because they collaborated on a song together. If yeah. I reach that level of fame, you will never catch me sitting down and eating at any fast
chance.
Food establishment, especially a McDonald's.
Oh my God. And when I drive through, my driver orders for me. I'm not even talking to the clown or the speaker or the donkey or whatever they have out in their drive through.
Yes, right now, not sure about any charges being filed. We're still waiting.
Has Taylor weighed in on it?
She is not.
All right.
She's not going to.
Are
you nuts?
I await her comments.
Former Disney Channel star holds trespasser at gunpoint.
All right, I'm down with a gunpoint trespasser.
Real quick, we're staying.
Real quick, Dylan Sprouse, the 33-year-old actor, confronted an alleged trespasser on his property. Someone tried robbing his house. Sprouse came out with a gun, held the trespasser at gunpoint until the cops came.
Who's Dylan Sprouse?
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, one of the twins.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
He's what? Also in Big That's Daddy with Adam Sandler.
I'm sorry, Parker.
Parker's prime.
Yeah. Parker finally knows.
That's Swiper
Frank,
Stay.
That's Swiper Stay. Thank you so very much. Another yeoman's job. Are you willing to try new health procedures? You may be able to in Wisconsin. We'll talk about it on the Civic Media.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you're here, Brian Noonan. All by myself. Oh, the sadness all by myself. Jamie's on vacation this week, but you can keep me company at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's how you jump in. When it comes to your health or the health of a loved one, how willing are you to try a new health procedure? The reason I'm asking that is because if you are battling cancer, there are certain types of procedures and treatments that you can get. Well, a new treatment is coming to two of Wisconsin's biggest health systems. And I'm wondering if your doctor recommends this, and we could make it for anything. I'm a big believer in if a doctor recommends it and it's a test, and even if there's a good chance that it will help me, I'm going to follow the doctor's orders. One, because to be honest, I think doctors are more intelligent on a number of issues, mainly medical issues, than I am. No matter how much research I would do on my own, the doctors are going to know more. So I trust them. And if you choose not to trust doctors, well, that's on you. Good luck with that. But anyway, here's the deal. So these two health systems are going to launch this new cancer therapy program. Two doctors specializing in radiation therapy say the relatively rare treatment program is another valuable tool to treat a variety of malignant tumors, and this is according to reporting from WPR. So last month, Froedtert Hospital and the Medical College of Wisconsin treated its first patient using a form of cancer treatment called proton therapy. Yes. The treatment uses a machine the size of a building to target cancerous tumors by accelerating proton particles to nearly the speed of light and aiming those particles at specific parts of the body. If you understood even half of the words that I just said to you, congratulations. You got half more words than I do, other than size of a building. I got that. So obviously this is rare, because building one of these things costs, the estimates were about $100 to $200 million. That's according to a 2023 review. It is costly, as you can imagine. So, the professor and chair of the Department of Radiation Oncology at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, Dr. William Hall is his name. He said, it's almost like a science fiction type situation that we take these particles and we can deposit them in such precise way to target malignant tumors. Now, let's sidebar for a minute and just live with the fact that we live in a time where there are people with such brilliance and such imagination and foresight that they can even develop something like this. Because it wasn't all that long ago that if you got cancer, you were just dead. That was just how it went. And now, you know, we've seen medical advancements throughout the years, all different treatments, and people's lives are being prolonged, and they're going on to live healthy lives and doing very well. But now we've got this thing where you're taking protons and you're targeting them and you're shooting them it's unbelievable. And this is why anytime somebody talks about not believing the science, I judge those people harshly. Because how do you not believe science when science is responsible for something like this? When science is responsible for pretty much everything that has gone on in public health that has made our lives better. If you don't believe in science, what are you doing here? I don't know if you watched The Pit. The Pit is an HBO show set in a hospital, stars Noah Wiley. I'm a big fan. They had, on their final episode, they had a woman come in who was doing a free birth. And I don't want to get into an argument about free birth, but basically there's no medical assistance at all. Well, the woman was sick, and she was like, I don't want any of this. It's free birth. And the doctor's like, then why are you here? Like, why are you here then? That's the way it goes. Okay, so the treatment can target a tumor, listen to this, down to the millimeter, while depositing less radiation to surrounding systems. There's about 50 proton therapy centers nationwide. That's according to the National Association for Proton Therapy, which does sound made up. That just sounds made up. But the Food and Drug Administration approved proton therapy all the way back in 2001. A 2023 review found it can be particularly useful as to treat children with cancer. So again, science, excellent. Again, like I mentioned, well, it's very expensive. So that's why there's not that many around. So Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, they have started theirs. They're ready to go. Now, you might say, well, what about, you mentioned two, that's one. Yes, UW Health is launching their proton therapy later this year. They are close behind Froedtert. They're sent to launch later. Dr. Benjamin Durkee, who is a radiation oncologist at UW Health and the medical director of UW's proton therapy program, told WPR that the health system is set to launch its own proton therapy this year. He said that while treatment should be tailored to each individual patient, there is evidence that proton therapy could benefit seniors being treated for certain types of head and neck cancers. That's good news. So we've got both ends of the demographics, if you're paying attention, and I hope you are. So the FDA said this proton therapy particularly good for children with cancer. And then UW is saying it's also really good for seniors. Now, when asked about whether insurance will cover proton therapy, that is the big question, obviously, for every procedure. Dr. Durkee said doctors can prove the treatment will be helpful by running simulations to determine the best type of radiation treatment to provide. Didn't really give the answer about insurance, but we all know if insurance doesn't have to pay, they won't. If they do, I'm doing something now where, you know, you got to get the pre-approval, even though the doctors all say, yes, this is a procedure you need, but it all comes down to who's going to pay for it. And quite frankly, the cost of everything medical-wise is so high that I don't want to pay for it myself. I don't want to do it. Parker, would you submit to experimental therapy? Now, this is not quite experimental, but it's brand new here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
If it's something, if the doctor said, hey, we got this new thing, it's proven pretty well to be effective for the kind of cancer you have. Would you take it or would you go, I don't know?
I think I would. I think that anything that would help me get better is kind of the goal, right? Because you just want to be doing all right. So I think I'd be all in for that kind of stuff. I do have a harder time saying yes for somebody else. Like if a family member were to have something and wasn't in a position to make that decision themselves, I don't know if I could say that for them necessarily. I don't know. But for myself, I certainly would.
See, and I'm in that position because, sure. And I, like a lot of people my age, you're taking care of your older parents.
Yeah.
And I have medical power of attorney.
Yeah.
I don't handle the money, but I handle the medical part. And if it came to that, I kind of like I know what my mom wants. She was this is a tip for everybody as they get older, and I need to take my own advice. Have it all written down. Have a will, a living will, have everything done. So I know what my mom wants, which makes it a little easier. But it still comes down to like that's a treatment. She may not want to be on machines to extend her life that way, but does she want to do something to keep her alive? Well, yeah, but then it comes down to like you're saying, Parker, you got to make that decision. Is this does this fall under extraordinary measures, or is this something that is going to do her more good than it is harm? And that's when you have to trust your doctors and you sit down and try to make that decision with them. But it is, I do default. I don't want to be that old guy. Oh, I'm having another thing, but I'm having something done Wednesday after the show. And when I was in the doctor's office, they were like, "Well, we could do this and this and this." I'm like, "Well, tell me, is it necessary?" Because I'll be honest, I've always in my whole life, and I'm sure I'm like a lot of you, I've been a little skeptical of, "Oh, we got to run some tests." I treat my body like I treat my car. If it's still moving, a little preventative maintenance, you know? I try to diet right. I try to keep active. I keep oil in my car. I don't do a lot of preventative maintenance. So when I hear from the doctor, we got to run a bunch of tests, it's not really my thing. But now, and Parker, God willing, you will reach this age sometime when you realize, man, I need more preventative maintenance than I used to. When I was your age, I didn't need any preventative maintenance. I actually did damage on purpose. But, you know, because I figured I was invincible. I was going to live forever. Yeah. Then I get to this age. Frank is telling me I can't be all-knowing and all-powerful on our bits. And the body is falling apart. And so I got to keep moving on to something else. But now, like this doctor, I said, is it really necessary? Is it going to make a difference? And he said, yes, for what you're here for, it'll help us rule out anything else. We think we know the problem, but this will help us, you know, be sure. And I'm like, all right, fine. Plus now my wife gets involved. And if I come home and they go, they wanted me to have this test, but I decided not to, she will not be happy with me.
No.
Because as much as she will make when I croak with my life insurance, she still likes me around to do lawn maintenance and things like that.
You're useful.
I catch the mice in the basement. You know what it costs to call in an exterminator? A lot more than telling me to go to the hardware store, get a couple old traps, and hit the basement. I serve a purpose, Parker. A lot of people don't. A lot of people can't pinpoint their purpose. I can pinpoint my purpose.
Kill the mice.
I cook the dinner. I cut the grass. That's three purposes if you're keeping track. That's a lot more than a lot of people have.
Wow.
A lot of people. Steve Martin in The Jerk had one special purpose. I don't know. I know that reference. You don't get. Frank hopefully is probably laughing hysterically.
I know. But of the movie.
You do know of the movie.
I know of it. Yes.
Put it on your list.
It's all right. Yeah, it's really long. It's more of a scroll at this point.
You need to take a sabbatical and catch up on your list and then come back fully ready for all references.
Okay.
All that right. That's what we're looking for.
Well, Jamie's off this week. How about you take next week off? I'll take the week after off, and then Frank can figure out what he's gonna do. I don't know what he's gonna take off. Huh?
I don't know. I don't like taking time off.
I know you don't.
I mean, I will.
But
I should. Well, I will. In August, I'm taking a week because my daughter's getting married.
Oh, there you go. Hey, so there's another purpose for you.
For a week.
Go to the wedding. Make sure that goes
go to
swimmingly.
The wedding. Yeah. Listen, if I didn't go to the wedding, think of if my wife's mad at me for not getting medical tests, think of how mad she'd be if I didn't show up at the wedding. Just because it's a hassle and I don't want to leave the house. All right. We live in Wisconsin. Beavers are everywhere. Have you had a beaver encounter? Not a euphemism. Got to point that out. But I'm asking for a reason, because are Wisconsin Beavers a nuisance? That is the headline. That's what we will talk about. I want your input, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie is on vacation. Fear not, she will return rested and ready. And I say that with tongue in cheek. Do we really think Jamie is resting? Probably not. She likes to be busy, and good for her for wanting to be busy. I embrace sloth at all times, and I will do that now when we take a break on the show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
Good morning. Yes, I am Brian Noonan. I am back with Daybreak. Jamie's not here. I should tell everybody every break, right, that Jamie's on vacation?
I mean, we'll I think they'll catch on.
That's a note.
Actually, just say talk to Frank to ask why
talk
she's
to
not
Frank.
Here. Yeah.
You wonder where Jamie is? Talk to Frank.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this.
No. That makes it easier.
I have nothing but time from 6 to 9. I could tell you all day, all about it. But my question is, are Wisconsin Beavers a nuisance? Have you run into a beaver? Have you had any sort of interaction? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's the number. That's what I want to hear from you. All right, now, this is why I'm bringing it up. I'm not bringing it up just to snicker or to make double entendres. I'm not bringing it up because I just went to Bucky's and I had a beaver encounter that way, because Bucky Nuggets. Have you been to a Bucky's?
I've not been to a Bucky's. No, I hear it's great.
Well, fingers crossed. One is supposed to come to Sun Prairie.
Really?
Fingers crossed. Yes.
Oh.
They're already building one just south of Milwaukee.
Yeah, in Oak Creek, right? Yeah.
Yep, in Oak Creek. Encouraging. I've been following this story. Big Quick Trip is trying to put a kibosh on it a little bit, and I got no shade on Quick Trip, but I'm hoping Bucky's makes it up. But
Beaver. All right.
Parker, I'm going to say it. You're going to use it as a drop-in. Yes, I want the Beaver in Wisconsin. So there you go. Nice and clean for you. Frank's been telling me, oh, you got to go see this Pixar movie, Hoppers, and that's about beavers. It's about an animal lover who seizes an opportunity to use new technology to hop her consciousness into a lifelike robotic beaver and communicate with animals. Sounds wild. I didn't see it yet. Maybe I'll watch it when it starts streaming. Filmmakers worked with the University of Minnesota endocrinologist, Dr. Emily Fairfax, as a science expert. They named the key character for her, Dr. Sam. Frank is probably going, oh, I remember Dr. Sam from Hoppers. Yes. So she said that Pixar did a good job showing how beavers can improve ecosystems with their dams. When you lose that beaver, you also lose the homes for the other animals. And I think that's a message that not everybody really understands, she told Minnesota Public Radio. If you trap a beaver out, if you remove its dam, you will take away a lot more than just the beaver from that ecosystem, whether you meant to do it or not. Now, you may be thinking, that's all great. You're telling us about travel plazas. You're telling us about animated movies. You're telling us about Minnesota. Why does that matter to people in Wisconsin? Well, I'm glad you asked, Parker, because researchers have identified Wisconsin as being among the top 10 states for biodiversity loss, largely due to climate change and animal overexploitation. That's why we should care. A vocal minority serving on a beaver advisory committee, which I've been part of with my buddies, that is drafting recommendations for the state's Department of Natural Resources, believes that it is time to change all that. Beavers should cease to be framed as a nuisance species and instead as an ecosystem engineer that creates wetlands. That can help reduce some of the worst effects of climate change, droughts, floods, and fires. So right there, you got to go, I'm going to cherish the beaver. I want it to be part of my ecosystem forever. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services program lethally removes beavers in Wisconsin and other states throughout the Midwest. In Wisconsin, Wildlife Services staff trapped about 2,200 beavers last year and removed more than 800 dams, which then leads us back to why we are one of the top 10 states for biodiversity loss. That is not good. Now, the majority of Beaver Committee members, mostly, and I would like t-shirts made for that, Parker, mostly composed of state and federal employees and interest groups, support the status quo. Those who don't have criticized the committee as stacking the deck against people who would advocate for substantive changes in policy. There's nothing in here that tells me why we're getting rid of so many beavers. Why we have to rid ourselves of 2,200 beavers in this state. Now, the dams, if they're creating wetlands, I guess if you have property, if you're in farming, and if this is the case, I would love to hear from you because I truly don't understand. This is not a joke. I would like to find out why this is so troublesome. Maybe you have a waterway coming through your land and beavers build a dam and that screws things up downstream. That could be the case. But Wisconsin Watch has reported on this before, and they said the state has an arduous and often expensive permitting process to install flow control devices that can lower water levels in beaver ponds or prevent the blockage of culverts. That can usher landowners toward lethal solutions, the use of which Wisconsin law liberally allows. So, Parker, if you wanted to go out today and destroy some beaver, you're well within your rights.
Man. I'm on Team Beaver, though. It sounds like they do a lot of good.
Listen, I think beaver makes the world go round. So I think they're doing... I don't think we should be destroying them and getting rid of them.
No.
People may hurt or trap beavers and remove their dams on their property without obtaining a license or reporting their catch. In fact, there are risks to ignoring beavers on your property. Yes, Frank?
That does pose a risk. And Parker, I would agree. I am also Team Beaver.
They're important, man.
They are.
Gentlemen, your snickering is not appreciated. This is serious business.
I agree. I am Team Beaver.
Yeah.
100%.
Of course.
I am with the Beavers at all times, especially after seeing that movie.
Yeah, tell us about it. Yeah. Did you remember when I said Dr. Sam? Sam is based on a real human being.
We only have 40 seconds left, but yeah, it's a really good movie with a great message about the environment. I implore you all to go see it. It's actually laugh out loud funny for a kid's movie.
I have trouble with the wholesale slaughter of a species.
Sometimes you gotta go out and hunt beaver.
Dude, I stopped doing that in my 20s. All right, it's almost time to say goodbye to WMDX listeners. You will go to Stephanie Miller. We will stay here. There's more scintillating conversations. I don't know if there's any more beaver talk. Probably not. But you can download the free...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.